Margaret James has dedicated her adult life to teaching and writing about Learn to Read programs for Indigenous young men. Now, she says that there are no prospects for teenagers that are substantially below their peers in print literacy. That makes sense. And if they learn these skills, they will have choices and hopefully not end up in jail. Margaret, that's pretty much the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
The reality of the future for so many, not just Indigenous, to be honest with you, other people that fall behind.
Well, there's a very high correlation between people who have, you know, literacy levels below functional literacy and landing up in detention, or people in detention.
They have no have future.
You know, often have lower literacy levels. So, you know, you really want to help people to become print literate when they're younger.
Of course.
So that they have
when you have young Aboriginal people, young men you're talking about mainly, or young women as well?
Both, really.
Okay. And they're in isolated communities, and of course their culture is so strong, for them to learn sort of the English literacy side of things as well as their cultural literacy, you've got to be able to learn to, which you have, haven't you, to combine that for them, to for their interest.
Yes, that's right, yes. So what I've done is write books that are themes that will engage them by talking to them first, to the students themselves, the middle school and senior school students, to find out what they'd like to read about, but also speak to the elders about what they were thinking.
Okay.
And to that's how it. We came up with the hunting and tracking themes.
Makes
that,
a lot of sense.
Yes, that really engaged them. And it's also something that they can speak about. So obviously the entry point into English print literacy is being able to speak English, and so to encourage that discussion, it's good to give them something that they're passionate about, which is telling their stories about their own experiences of hunting and
tracking. Well, students, you say here in years 7, 8, 9, and 10, and at many high schools, have a reading age of a seven to an 8 year old. Which doesn't put them out there in front.
Yeah, that's right. So the books are really to address that need, which actually starts at age so. Teenagers who have a reading age of age 5 up to age 7, 8, 9. So the books begin from zero, really, from zero reading, and take them up, because there weren't books for teenagers that would do that, particularly teenagers that come from an Indigenous background whose greatest passion is being out in the bush hunting.
Of course, that's where they prefer to be. Mm. Now, you've written 22, that's no mean feat. You're still writing?
Well, there are a couple more in my head and in the imagination of the students I'm talking to. So, so the first series is books 1 to 15, which is actually a progressive Learn to Read series. And then on top of that, I've got 7 books for people who can read, and it's just written in everyday English. But the names of the animals are in an Aboriginal language. And then the discussion, the dialogue between the characters is in Aboriginal English. So I'm highlighting the traditional languages by using the animal names, and I'm using Aboriginal English as dialogue to make it authentic, but also easier to read for people who speak Aboriginal English themselves.
But also, it's the combination of both languages, isn't it? And being everyone accepting that we're all a bit different, and we can get to understand their language as well, to a point.
Yes.
So, but these particular books now, how long have they been out?
No, they're just out. In fact, I spoke in Perth on Wednesday about it for the first time. And the 7, so we've got the 1 to 15, in, which is one of which you're holding, which is final print.
The kids get and a then, big goanna, that's gorgeous.
And then the others... The 7 that sit on top, that's still the final proof, which I'll be sending to the printers early next week, and then that turnaround is 2 weeks, and then they're out there.
How are these books going to be introduced? They're going to be part of the curriculum?
Well, it's up to each individual school to decide now. The department, I think at one time the department sort of said, we think you should use whatever books, but now it's up to each school.
So are we looking at schools in the metropolitan area as well as the country areas?
Yes, definitely, because one of the things that the elders all said was that they really wanted all Australians to know more about their culture.
That's what I was getting at,
And they felt that these books would go some way towards doing that.
Would.
It certainly reminds people that we have these fantastic languages still alive and well, and also that people are still practicing the ancient skills of hunting and
tracking. So you would have all the children, the different age groups, reading the books together, not just the Indigenous children.
Yes, that would be their wish and mine. But they were written for Indigenous learners who are struggling with their print literacy. It was sort of, you know, let's help you along the way and give you something that you want to read about, because it's what they all told me they wanted to read about. On the other hand, yes, I actually read the books to two little boys who weren't Indigenous last night, one aged 4.5, one 3. And they just love them.
That's what I'm thinking about exactly with the illustrations.
I went a bit gently on the how you actually kill the echidna. Oh.
You held back all the R-rated stuff. So to get this clear then, if there are children, Indigenous children that are struggling in a class, they would get a copy of the book to go home with, or would it be attended to in the class?
It would be attended to in the class, but the ideal would be for them to be able to take them home. Yeah. And that would be, there's an elder called Margaret Kamara Turner. She's known as MK Turner. She's very well known. And her dream would be for every family to have a set of the books. This is what she says. But that would require a lot of funding, because the families wouldn't probably be able to put the money towards buying books.
Are these going to go commercial as well?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's what I... Out in the bookstores, then people will see how the benefits of showing their children what this is about in the culture as well. Yes. Yeah, that's a fabulous idea.
And it would be great if I had funding to develop them. Well, I had funding to develop two, actually, and I did all of them, but...
why 22?
Well, I decided when I started that there was such a need, and two books weren't really going to go anywhere towards helping someone to read, whereas 15 gives them a chance to actually get into it and get going.
Yeah. So for the older boys and girls, Indigenous, what sort of areas? You're covering the hunting and the fishing as well?
Yes. So we've got tracking, hunting, and then fishing for barramundi. And we've got one true story, which was told to me by a Luritja Aranda man called Vincent Forrester, and that's about the first Camel Cup in Alice Springs.
Oh, the race.
Yes. And he was a musterer, and they obviously had an absolute ball, these young chaps. He's now about 64, but when he was a young man, they obviously had great fun mustering and cattle and so on. And then they also, you know, collected the camels, had a lot of fun there. So the story is really about them getting tourists to ride on the camels.
Have the education department had a look at these books
yet?
Not yet. Oh, no, that's your next role.
In fact, the funders haven't seen them yet. That's Prime Minister and Cabinet, so they're the next ones that need to see the completed sets. But they've heard about them, and we've sent it.
Tony Abbott's the one involved, isn't he? In Indigenous Affairs.
I think it changes every morning.
Well, that's a good point.
But Nigel Scullion, I think, is still Minister for Aboriginal Affairs.
I might be wrong there. Probably am. Now, what the interest that you've had in this? You're from South Africa, aren't you?
Originally, yes. Yes. I've been in Australia since 1990, though.
Yeah. And you qualify to stay.
I qualify, yes. I am an Australian.
And your interest, citizen. Why did you have this incredible interest?
I was a lecturer at Bachelor Institute teaching all Indigenous teachers. And I just became interested in why the children were behind mainstream kids in reading. And I decided it had a lot to do with language, because I'm also a linguist from way back. And I wrote the first series called The Honey Ant Readers around that. So I wrote the first lot in Aboriginal English, then did a standard English edition, and then did the first three books in seven Aboriginal languages.
Wow.
But that was my first interest. Then when I was delivering professional development on those books in schools, I started to notice a lot of middle schoolers and senior schoolers whose read their chronological age might have been 15, but their reading age was 5 or 6 or 7.
It just holds you back so much, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Your self-esteem is attacked. You're worried that you're going to be made a fool of by standing up and having to read, and it's a horrible thing.
What do you do in a Year 9 classroom if you can't read?
Exactly. You're just not learning. Mm. You stop learning, don't you?
So your imagination goes into, what mischief can I cause here?
Yeah. So you've tested this on a few young people, have you?
Yes.
And their response has been?
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
The trials were so exciting.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, so to speak. It's just wonderful. And the illustrations are beautiful as well.
Yes. So and we had 12 different illustrators, but the most exciting probably was that 6 of them were middle schoolers themselves. Oh. And you'll be blown away if you look at their pictures. If they don't become famous artists, I'll be very surprised in their lives, you know.
And are they Indigenous?
Yes, they're all Tiwi.
Oh, my goodness.
People themselves, so...
Oh, that is so beautiful.
So they're middle school.
Oh, wow.
I know. Look at the detail.
That's a bit graphic.
Yes, it's the crocodile biting a barramundi in half. And he's got blood coming through his teeth. And
you got to have a little bit of violence, I think, yes. in reading to keep them interested. They are absolutely gorgeous. You have hit it there. That's fantastic. So from now, you have to approach the education department and the government and
schools. Tomorrow I'm speaking to the Justice Department, so because the prisons have actually been in touch with me since they heard I was doing these books. I get regular sort of calls saying how much longer, when will they be ready, because there's a great need. There aren't any, if you like, mature age themes in early readers,
so
you know, most books for people who can't read are very babyish themes.
Mm. That's very true. So they're unfortunately Indigenous youth at the moment incarcerated. Mm. They would get the benefit from this as well, to get educated for reading.
And the elders want these books for them to reconnect with their culture as well.
As well,
while
yes.
they're locked up, they can think about what's out there.
Yeah, and combine
and
both.
Teaching their children those skills and looking forward to coming out and taking part in that again, and just knowing that there is this other world out there.
Yeah, it must be tough, I think, for a lot of our Aboriginal youth, Indigenous youth, to have two types of lifestyle, I suppose. They want to fit in with English, you know, lifestyle, get a job and get ahead, most of them, and then they still need to retain their culture, which a lot of countries do. Mm. A lot of people from other countries do, don't they? I mean, you've worked with migrants as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Refugees.
Yes, I did. And, I think it's true.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle sometimes where they don't quite know how to fit both together.
And I think, you know, hard as we try, and I've lived in Alice Springs and worked with elders for 14 years, I don't know that someone who's not born into it can ever quite understand how they see the world. It's just absolutely extraordinary.
Mm.
You know, even hunting, it's just extraordinary to see how the slightest movement, you know, gets their eye and how they track it and just sort of have a sense of what's there and that patience to keep digging for hours and into great depths to find a honey ant and so on. But it's that...
It's that culture that has never left them.
And it's such a different way of viewing the world.
Of course.
And we expect them to just come into school and sit at a desk and get on with the Western model when they've got all this and not respecting and acknowledging the incredible knowledge they bring to the classroom and not tapping into that for the benefit of everyone in the classroom.
I had a lady yesterday I spoke to who was an Aboriginal healer.
Oh, wonderful.
From traditional methods and so on.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a lot we can learn. Mm. All of us can learn from it. Yeah, and you obviously have too, Margaret. Mm. Congratulations for everything you've done so far and for the future. It's going to be an absolute winner, I know, and hopefully will give a great future for so many Aboriginal youth out there.
Thank you
for joining us.
Thank you very much.